meeting we have is classical. It's in 2 weeks from today. All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue here now in the analysis of verse 1, chapter 5, where Peter is proclaiming his support and camaraderie with the pastor teachers of these local churches here in Asia Minor. As he proclaims, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now, the terminology, nouns, fellow elder and witness, as we've seen, is controlled by one definite article with connective chi. That's the Granville-Sharp rule. And therefore, is a hyphenated grammatical sequence here of these terms to note one idea that obviously has two different functions that are in agreement with one another in this fashion, such as the hyphenated office of pastor-teacher. So the question becomes then, how is Peter, a fellow elder, hyphenated fellow, if you will, witness of the sufferings of Christ with these elders in this respect? And as we brought out, strictly speaking, while most commentaries want to immediately assume that he's dealing with himself being a witness of the Passion, strictly speaking, Peter was not an onlooker or observer. He was hiding out for his life during this particular period of his history here. And therefore, we must figure out what he means here and where he's drawing a parallel with the elders and himself as being a fellow witness. Part of the answer comes in regards to the nuance of terms for witness, where in 2 Peter 1:16, we saw in 4.44 there, epotes is the term used there of his being an onlooker or observer of Christ at the transfiguration, where Christ's glory was manifested, and he's there with Moses and Elijah in a very supernatural way. Our term witness here, martis, carries with it a nuance of someone having a first-hand experience as to the event, that they are directly involved and associated in this respect. So, 47, where we left off, the problem finds its completed solution. Now, in the final clause, also a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. So, 48, now the noun, a partaker, the partaker, is ho koinonos, and that's the cognate of the verb share, which is koinoneo, used in 1 Peter 4:13, that there emphasize a common participation in the sufferings of Christ. In 4:13, but to the degree that you koinoneo, share the sufferings of Christ. So there it looks at a common ground of participating in regards to the sufferings that Christ was under in regards to the first advent, but it doesn't mean that they had to be there with Jesus at that point in time in history. That this, anyone, any believer at any time in the church age, when they stand for the truth of Bible doctrine, for what is right in that regards, and undeserved suffering comes their direction, they share Christ's sufferings in a similar or like manner of what he faced in regards to the advent. So, 49, here Peter uses a parallelism between witness, martis, and partaker, koinonos, with 1 Peter 4:13, where he displays a correspondence between sharing Christ's sufferings and now, in our verse, quote, sharing his glory. Obviously, to the degree you share in Christ's sufferings, undeserved suffering in time, you share in regards to Christ's glory in eternity through the principle and concept of SG3. So 50, here what Peter is relating to us. In other words, he is claiming to be a witness of the sufferings of Christ in a deeper sense of himself suffering for his testimony, for his own testimony, and hence in that way sharing in the sufferings of Christ. So 51, this in identifying with the pastors as to their own sufferings of Christ, as all, obviously, share partakers of in this realm. So 52, Peter was a living testimony. Was a living testimony to the sufferings of Christ, as he suffered the same kinds of things Christ suffered for the same reasons. The persecution, the verbal attacks, antagonism, ultimate death in this regard. Peter shares with Christ in the sufferings brought upon positive volition, those who stand for God in the angelic conflict. And for the same reasons, that is, to stand for the truth of Bible doctrine, insisting on its guidelines and rules to govern life, rather than compromising and catering to the cosmos, negative volition, human viewpoint, the STA, obviously all those things that set up the opposition of judgments. So 53, this interpretation satisfies the grammar, the context, and historical facts. The context being sharing in sufferings with Christ, as well as the historical facts, employing, and the grammar employing, the Granville-Sharp rule. So 54, the aged elders were co-witnesses to what it meant to be a believer living in a congregation, leading a congregation in the fires of the angelic conflict. They were co-witnesses along with Peter of what this means to share in Christ's sufferings, as they and he both obviously had authoritative positions to lead believers in the midst of Satan's world. So 55, Philippians 3:10 sheds light on this interpretation. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Being conformed to his death. So it's the same idea that Peter is presenting here in his mark of support and camaraderie with these elders. Also compare 1 Thessalonians 2:14. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus, the saints of Thessalonica, that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, denoting this common bond of sufferings that comes about through the antagonism of negative volition. So 56 here in Peter's epistle, the Greek syntax has the force of carrying fellow elder to the second noun witness, as also a fellow witness, if you will, of the sufferings of Christ. So 57, Peter, as an apostle and elder, was at one with the Asian elders in their present tribulations. We're all in the boat together, is what he's saying. We all have the same responsibilities, same obligations. And we all face the same distractions, the same opposition. Obviously, in their particular scenarios and circumstances and situations, as all other believers. Here, the emphasis is between those of communicative authority in leading and shepherding local churches. And he's at one with them. He knows, he says, I can appreciate what you're going through. That's what he's saying. I can really appreciate this because I'm going through the same thing. I meet the same opposition. And to carry the torch in regards to being a communicator is no light matter. And he wants to encourage these men to continue on and to stand fast in this respect. So 58, now the third noun, dealing with self-designation here as partaker, fellow elder, fellow witness, using that term, You also, you could say partaker with the same idea. However, it stands apart from the first two nouns, having its own definite article. 59, but, quote, partaker, end quote, is connected with the preceding noun, witness, by the adjunctive use of also. So, three self-declinations. First two are hyphenated. The third is associated, but is now presented in a separate way. So, 60, here the sharing is in the vindicating glory, heidotza in the Greek, that parallels the first-hand experience of sharing Christ's sufferings. First-hand experience of sharing Christ's sufferings. Partaker of the glory, that is to be revealed. With the undeserved suffering comes the ultimate vindication, the ultimate glory, as reserved for us in our SU3 package. 61, obviously, there is a sharp contrast between the two physical states of suffering and the glory to follow, as it is in the case of Christ's experience, the same way that came down the pipe of Jesus in this regard, at first under humility, experiencing the sufferings of the world, then the glory to follow. So it is. And there is obviously a sharp contrast between those two states. In regards to 1 Peter 1:11, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So 62, the contrast here, suffering versus glory, is obvious, and the comparison is extraordinary. While suffering we do undergo doesn't hold a candle or a light with respect to the ultimate vindication and glory that will come upon the positive adjusted believer that stays the course. Compare Romans 8:18. Paul proclaims, for I consider that the sufferings of the present time, the sufferings of Christ, see, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We can't explain to you completely the magnificent aspect of SG3, the vindication that will come, because it's impossible. Scripture tells us that. But compared to the, if you will, momentary light affliction of the undeserved suffering that we engage, the eternal blessing, the eternal glory, the eternal vindication will be forever, and it'll definitely take your mind off anything else that happened before. You will be glad that you endured. You will be glad with extreme joy that you persevered, and that you did not compromise doctrine. It's just one of those things that the Bible promises us, and is part of our hope and our confidence of why we do what we do. Why we limit ourselves in regards to our life to the stringent requirements of God's plan for our life, and are not willing to, if you will, cater to the cosmos and otherwise destroy our faith to crash and burn spiritually and fail to complete our course as Christians in this life, because we are destined to share with Christ's glory if we hang in there with Him. Obviously, to the ultimate degree is what we're dealing with here. Everyone, all believers share in His glory to a certain degree with resurrection body, eternal life, no more sorrow, sickness, and all these other things. But for that believer that hangs in there, he says, no, I'm not compromising doctrine, even if the opposition comes as the closest member or family next to them or whatever, or a friend or whatever. I'm hanging in there with it, see. That will be recompensed according to the righteous judgment of God. In contrast, again, as we've been seeing, contextually, the unrighteous judgment of the SCA, negative volition and rejection of doctrine or compromised rationale of it, however you want to look at it in that respect. Also 1 Peter 1:6-7. the same principle brought out here. In this you greatly rejoice. In regards to the SG3, the inheritance of verses 4 and 5 that is rejected for us by Peter. In this you greatly rejoice. Looking ahead, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials or tests. That the proof of your faith, the evidence through enduring under these tests, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, the most one of the most sought after metals in history, gold. Even it's perishable. Even though it can withstand natural to unbelievable degrees for years and years underwater, under earth or whatever, and still retain its shine and its value. Gold still is perishable. We know that in the last days as the nuclear radiation will contaminate it and destroy it and cause it to rust, as James says. But that's perishable. Most sought after things, the highest of wealth that one can attain physically in life, is temporal. It's all temporal. Even though tested by fire, noting the refining process, equating it to our testing in life, it's refining our quality of volition. God, by putting in our test, the undeserved suffering that we face, the application of doctrine, etc., in this regards, He is refining our quality of volition. He is bringing out for us our maximum capability of producing maximum SG3 in life. A whole different way to look at testing in life. It's for your good. It's for your benefit. As Peter has also made very clear, all these things, people that are antagonistic, and it gives you opportunity to stand for doctrine that you otherwise would not have. And that gives God opportunity to reward at a level otherwise that He would not have opportunity. And that you may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All these things associated in regards to our SG3 package. The exaltation, the recognition, the eternal glory that's associated with it, and the honor that's bestowed upon those as it will be obvious for all eternity that they did it right, versus the majority of believers who did not complete their course. And also 4:13. Again, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, He's going to bring His glory with Him. Revelation tells us He's bringing this reward with Him. The reward's there. And every time we get in fellowship, we apply Bible doctrine, we stay the course in that state of spirituality and application. Our account's being accredited with that SG3, with that glory. Surpassing Grace, Phase 3. And He's going to bring the reward with Him. And at the revelation of His glory, that's the bane of seek judgment. And there you got two options. Hopefully it's the option of verse 13, of which we put our hope in. You may rejoice with exultation rather than facing shame at the bema because, you know, you let your SGA, your volition, take you down a path that takes you away from Bible doctrine and compromises God's plan for your life. You trash your face too. And people are constantly on the verge of doing that. 63, the glory that is to be revealed refers to the coming of Christ at the rapture. 64, Peter looks ahead to the time when he and they, and we, as I put in parentheses, will partake of Phase 3 glory according to the measure of our Phase 2 willingness to suffer all the things that adherence to Bible doctrine brings into our lives. These things will come in. It'll try to jolt your FCA into reacting, of losing confidence, of losing faith. Oh, this isn't really right, or whatever, a compromise, or simply to, you know, succumb and start bringing havoc into your spiritual advance and slowing it down. All the FCA aspects can be attached to that, the cavalier attitude, indifference, things of this nature, losing your zeal, becoming soul weary, you know, all these things, all these pressures. Obviously, as Peter has been bringing forth for us, the barrage of antagonism and opposition that we meet in the Christian life to try to dissuade us, get our SCA stirred up to dissuade us, that's not worth it. The next thing you know, Bible class becomes, you know, something second to you rather than your NPR. The applications and level of application that one makes starts becoming less. Prayer life starts diminishing. And then you become wrapped up in regards to the SCA and how it's taking you in this direction. 65, the glory that is to be revealed here holds reward of particular significance for spiritual shepherds and thus for Peter himself, as he will specify verse 4 in regards to the chief shepherd appearing and receiving the unfading wreath of glory. All right, here verses 2 and 3 now. Peter continues on here, providing us with the specifics of this exhortation. The specifics as it's addressed to these elders. As he proclaims, shepherd the flock of God among you. Exercising oversight. Shepherd is your verb here as the imperative, the command, aorist active. Poimaino, P-O-I-M-A-I-N-O, a shepherd or pastor, used 11 times. The flock, definite article with a noun, accusative, neuter singular, receiving the action of shepherding, obviously, contextually, a flock of sheep, as metaphorically believers are referred to. Poimaino, P-O-I-N-N-I-O-N, used 5 times. Flock here of God. Of God here, obviously, is possessive. Belongs to God. Ho theos with the definite article. T-H-E-O-S. Among you, preposition in. Follows your plural pronoun. Personal pronoun, su. Exercising oversight. Exercising oversight is an imperative participle here. Present active. The verb episkopeo. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-E-O. Exercising oversight, overseeing. It's used 2 times. We note here, as you can see in the brackets up in the Greek there, in regards to this word, that there's a textual variance. This participle is included in some important manuscripts, Papyrus 72, the Alpha 2, the Aleph, excuse me, to Alpha, and then it's omitted in other manuscripts that carry a lot of weight, the Aleph there with the asterisk and the Beta. First and foremost, it has no theological bearing in either case. Theologically, it does nothing adding it or subtracting it in that respect. It seems these verbs here contextually are parallel to parallel 225, where the cognate nouns poimen and episkopos where it's described of Jesus Christ there as shepherd and guardian. For you are continually straying like sheep, but now you are returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. That's the cognate nouns, the two cognate verbs that we're seeing right here, of shepherd and overseeing. And there the nouns are employed in regards to Christ as being the shepherd, and their translated guardian would be the capitalized overseer. So, also the imperative participle is also Peter's style, so that doesn't do anything in regards to, there's no claim there that he's, you know, this somehow is unique to his epistle and his style of writing. So, we're keeping it in. To me, contextually, it fits perfectly, and we'll deal with that in the summary, the analysis. Exercising oversight, as he goes on now, and he gives a list of contrasts of the pastor and how they are to function and operate in their office, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God. Not under compulsion is the negative may, M-E, plus the adverb. And here he uses adverbs in the first 2 contrasts, sets of contrast. The adverb anagkastos, Anagastos. Anagastos. That means not under compulsion, not willing, unwillingly. It's a hapax. It followed with a strong adversity, but, which is inserted in each of these sets of contrasts. So there is a direct parallel that's is to be derived from the negatives with the positives. Allah, in stark contrast to, then the positive aspect, but voluntarily according to the will of God. Voluntarily or willingly is the adverb hekousios. H-E-K-O-U-S-I-O-S. Hekousios. Willingly, voluntarily, with willful intent. It's used two times here and in Hebrews 10:26, which we'll look at later. Voluntarily here, or willfully, according to the will of God. The will of supply, with proper sense, you had the preposition according to kata, K-A-T-A, literally to God, according to God, theos, T-H-E-O-S. Then the second contrast, a negative to positive, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. You have the negative conjunction mede, mede, M-E-D-E, and not, or nor yet. Then our next adverb here, translated sordid gain, is aiskrokerdos, A-I-S, C-H-R-O-K-E, R-D-O-S, aiskrokerdos. Covetously, or for sordid gain, is a hot box also, only used right here. Then your strong adversity of all repeated. And then the next adverb, in contrast to that, paralleling, translated but with eagerness. Eagerness is your adverb prothumos. P-R-O-T-H. U-M-O-S. Eagerly or readily. It's used one time in the New Testament. In the Septuagint, it's used one time. It's translated zealously there in 2 Corinthians 29:34 in the Septuagint. In verse 3, he gives the final contrasting sets here. Nor yet is lording it over those allotted to your charge. The repeat of the negative conjunction meta. And not, or nor yet. Then you have the comparative conjunction of manner here, hos, H-O-S, nor as, nor yet as, lording it over. This is it. Now he changes to the the participles. To the participle here. It's imperative participle, present active, the compound verb, kata, kurio. Kurule. K-A-T-A K-U-R-I-E-U-O. Diphthongs in there. Tough to get. Kata Kurule. Lording over means abusing of authority. It's used four times. Lording it over those allotted to your charge. Those allotted to your charge is one word in the Greek with the definite article, noun, genitive, masculine, singular, of hope, kleros, K-L-E-R-O-S. It means the ones assigned or allotted, the proportion share. These verbs bring out the individualized local churches of each of these shepherds. It's used 11 times. And in the positive sense, in contrast to that paralleling, of not abusing your authority, but proving to be examples to the flock. We have the strong adversity again, Allah. Proving is our imperative participle, present component of our verb, ginomai, G-I-N-O-M-A-I, translated in many different ways. Coming to reality is literal ill, hence proving to be examples. To be examples is your noun, nominative, masculine, plural. Examples or patterns of tupos. T-U-P-O-S. Sounds like a rapper's name, tupos. Examples is used 15 times to the flock. To the flock, we have our same noun as above with a definite article toe, poem, neon. Toinnion. Here's a deity of reference with reference to the flock. All right, well, this is going to be a pretty long analysis, over 100 points. So rather than come back 2 weeks and repeat myself all over, I'm just going to let you all go early. I've got a little drive to make today anyway. So you all take care of yourselves. Keep us in your prayers as we will reciprocate likewise. We'll see you 2 weeks from Sunday. The creek don't rise and whatever else happens. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit to enlighten us these things, be with each of the saints as we part our ways temporarily and bring us back together for the next scheduled Bible class. In Jesus' name, amen.